Take me out to the ball game. Take me out to the crowd room. Buy me some peanuts and Cracker Jacks. I don't care if I ever get back. So it's root, root, root for the home team. If they don't win, it's a shame. So it's 1, 2, 3 strikes, you're out at the old ball game. Amen. Now, in our league, I mean, we are like baseball people nonstop, you know. William's doing really good. Last year, he was the home run leader in his team. He had 7 runs over the fence. This year, he's in a 13-year-old league, which is just 13-year-olds before they go on to, is it juniors or? They'll be seniors next year. So he had a big game yesterday, and he couldn't pull himself away. So he says, too bad, I'm playing baseball again. But in our league, it's mandated that we have to do concessions or put up $20. And that's how they maintain that whole thing. But for you to bootstrap this whole idea of doing concessions, you know, maybe if it's just this first year with a lot of volunteers, it's a great idea, because it's a real sense of community out there. You know, really neat. We were praying this morning before the service, and I thought, not only is the Lord opening up a new door for your church, but he's opening up a new door for a lot of families and a lot of relationships. But I saw a path, and like as you went along the path, you saw all kinds of provision. It wasn't like, oh, we're going to get there and money, or I have to put up all this money now. But it's like, oh, well, there it is. Oh, yeah, I can use that. Or, oh, that's how we, oh, thank you, Lord. So there's going to be things that you walk out, you know, along the way, this pathway that the Lord's put you on. And there's going to be all kinds of provision that he's going to provide for you. You know, there's also the ministry of impartation. There's things that you can give into people's lives. You know, all kinds of different things that you can do. In fact, I'd like to give away a couple of CDs. You probably have Nancy's newer CD, but we finally took some old cassettes and put them on CD as well. I think we have 5 different ones now. Teaching tapes. And here's one, Building Healthy Relationships, Understanding the Control, the Progression of a Healthy Dating Relationship. Who would like a CD on Building Healthy Relationships? Anybody here? Mm-hmm. Here's another CD. Tell me what love is.
It's about friendship,
mm-hmm. These were a lot of singles teaching tapes. They're really cool CDs. So we want to sow these into people. You know how you sow seed? You know, you plant seed, you know? And I think you folks here are good dirt. You know, we can plant into this. You know, good soil. Excuse me, good soil. All right. I have a book that I wrote 25 years ago, when I was in Bible college. It's The Physics of Heaven. The Lord did a download one time during a conference, and revealed all kinds of things to me on where the heavens are at, how things operate in the spirit realm, and he talked through me a way that I could understand and relate for all the different people that throw up these arguments when you try to talk about the miraculous or you try to talk about the supernatural. They say, yeah, right, you know, blow it off, you know, science is this or science is that. Well, the Lord showed me in the premier area of science, which is physics, this is what's going down. When God said he is light, or when Jesus said I am the word became flesh, you know. Well, 25 years later, the Lord said, thank you for writing the book, and he wanted me to write it then, but he said, don't tell anybody about it. It just wasn't the time. And finally, about 2 years ago, I don't know if I even told you much about the book at all, a little bit, you know, told a couple people, but finally about 2 years ago, I said, okay, you can go ahead and release the book. Because one of the things I was writing about, which helps explains where, like the Apostle Paul said, I knew a man in or out of the body 14 years ago, was caught up to the third heaven. And what was that? Well, it explains heaven, explains angels, explains how they operate, how you move in the supernatural. But mainly it explains about the authority of the believer, what it meant when Paul said, I've been seated in heavenly places and my citizenship is in heaven. And I've cross-referenced it with about 50 different scriptures, and I've cross-referenced all the latest things in physics so that if you want to talk arguments in science, let Einstein talk for you. Einstein laid it all down, and all these other guys. One of the things that I wrote that was different 25 years ago, there's not just multidimensional space, you know, like length, width, and height, you know, three-dimensional things. There's also three dimensions of time, which explains the fullness of time and explains the kingdom of heaven. And I laid out real simply. Well, sure enough, about 4 or 5 years ago, the physicists finally started to say, you know, the only way we're really going to explain a lot of this stuff, we've tied everything down to string theory, is we start talking about multidimensional time. So the Lord had me wait 23 years until the world of physics finally started releasing that sort of stuff. So it's an interesting book. You'll find it a very good way for people who operate in the spirit realm, who operate under the authority, people who are involved in worship and praise and different things, or just from a point of an apologetic and understanding the authority of the word. And I liked what you read this morning about understanding the authority. Would you like to have that book there? Yeah. So anyhow, that big advertisement, I never do that. But you're one of the first churches that I've mentioned anything to. Real quick, what I've been doing, we've been moving out of our offices we've had for 18 years or just about, you know, different offices. These offices we've been in for 9. If in our area, if you have employees, you have to have an office. I couldn't even have my dad working out of my house. You know, you have to have an office space. So we had employees for years and years, and I write software programming, and it helped a lot, the employees I had, but I didn't make a dime. But I learned all the latest widgets and things in software. But I really don't need any more fellows, you know. I'm 61 now. I know enough, you know, programming to last me until as long as I should be programming, you know, with the latest .NET this and .NET that. And we had Nancy LaPuff with us for, what, 8 years or better, 10 years? And when she moved to Arizona with her husband in their ministry, we just couldn't replace her. We tried 3 or 4 people. Well, after a couple of years, we thought, we don't need to be spending $18,000 a year for an office for just the two of us, all the spaces and everything. So we found a house that's large enough to accommodate moving our offices and our studios into. So that's what we've been doing a lot of most recently, but we still have to sell our existing home. So if you can pray and agree that that sells tomorrow morning, you know, just that'd be nice. Last October, I had a chance to take off almost the whole month, and I spent 10 days in Germany with some good friends that we are ordained underneath, and we network, get together at least once a year or so out of California, but some of the folks are from different nations. Then I spent 10 days in Northern Ireland, which is really nice. Then I spent 10 days in Assisi, Italy, with all of my Catholic friends that work out of the Vatican. And our ministry, our missions outreach is called Fishnetters, because we believe in networking the church. There's so many neat relationships, so many gifts that are in the body of Christ. They just need to tie up all these little knots and strengthen, you know, the body a whole lot more. Around here, you're starting to see different Catholic churches that are having to close up and having to aggregate together, you know. Well, my friends in Italy, in Germany, have an international church that's in an old Catholic building, lovely old building, and their agreement was they would take care of it. They would take care of the frescoes. So now in that old facility, there's a German-speaking church, there's an African-speaking church, there's an Iranian-speaking church, there's a French-speaking church, and there's a Spanish-speaking church. So the Lord watches over his church, and he does watch over his facilities. He takes care of a lot of those different things and makes good plans and good uses for them. So it's going to be exciting to see what he does with this facility here in the different ways, you know, fun things. Then I went to Northern Ireland and spent 10 days with terrorists. The lady that was there used to be one of the main bombers in England. I would have to shoot you if I told you. God moves in hearts. A lot of the guys were former IRA. Some of them were snipers. Took out over 50 people. God changes hearts. It was a huge move of God. Huge move of God. There's a lot of exciting things happening over there. It was fun. I got to breeze through Dublin really quickly, but spent most of the time in Northern Ireland, but there's a lot of exciting things happening in the church around the world in a lot of different ways there. Then I'm on the board with Matteo Calissi, who a number of years ago was vice president of all the Catholic Charismatics in the world, and now he's president of the Catholic Charismatic Covenant Communities. What's happened around the world is the Catholic Charismatics have grown so large and so strong. We don't see it that much here in the United States, but there's like 125 million full gospel Catholic Charismatics on fire for God. And a lot of them have large covenant communities and get-togethers to where they're raising up their own priest. There's a lot of bishops involved with this thing. In fact, the first part of the week was a convocation of bishops. And they have to have special permission from the Vatican and all that to have that many bishops, which are really the authority in the Catholic Church, are the bishops. They're the ones that really call the shots, for them to gather. And then the rest of the week was this international that happens every other year of all the different leaders from around the world. And in the middle of the week, about 600 of us took a trip down on these beautiful European buses down to the Vatican and met with the Pope. And he spent an hour with the group. And usually, it's if you look at St. Peter's Cathedral, up above it, there's this long hall that could probably seat about 1,100 people, big, beautiful hall. He usually comes in at the front, you know, says, howdy doody, couple of minutes and all this, and he's out of there. Well, he spent an hour with this group because he's really concerned, as well as the last couple of popes, on the movement of the Holy Spirit, you know, what they call the charismas and on the gifts within the body of Christ. In fact, he recognized the Catholic covenant communities directly to the Vatican, which in a governmental standpoint is pretty radical because that means he bypassed the local diocesan bishops in a lot of ways. He's putting a lot more authority in them. So the Holy Spirit is moving throughout the church in a lot of different ways and a lot of different exciting ways. There's a lot of change happening in our economy. We see things being turned topsy-turvy. But don't you think the Lord can kind of work with that to really help us come out as a stronger nation? It's going to be tough. You know, we lost our house how many years ago? 10, 12 years ago? You know, I had a construction company go belly up, and we just lost everything. Lost our house, lost our offices that we had owned, lost everything. You know, the policeman came to the door and says, I hate to tell you this, but you have till Thursday to get out of here. You know, the Lord opened doors, but we were upside down tens of thousands of dollars, you know, from the different things. And it took us 10, 12 years to pay all that off and get right again to where the bank approved not only a loan for our new house, but while we still own another house at the same time. And on paper, being self-employed, we don't make dirt. I mean, I think I had $2,000 last year or something like that on paper. So the Lord can open doors. So even though it's a tough time for our nation right now, and we're going to spend a lot of money to turn this thing around, I think we're going to turn it around as a company, you know, as a country. So I'm just excited about what's happening. I'm excited about what's happening in the church. And I see a lot of hope. And I see as you go into your new facilities, the Lord's not only going to lay down a pathway for you, but all along you're going to find and discover provision at the right timing, just the right time. I'll let Nancy talk about that. Thank you.
That's for you.
Oh, that's for you.
the guitar? Signal that I have. Got it now? Okay. Come on, honey, let's sing up to something good. How about this? Do we have a vocal? Is this on? Testing? There's no switch or anything. Testing? One, two. Huh? You got me in there?
There it is. There it is.
Hello? Hello?
Hello, hello.
Okay. I'm gonna believe that you are up to something good. I'm gonna believe that you are up to something good. When I can't understand the things that happen in my life, I'm gonna believe that you are up to something good. Let's do that again. I'm gonna believe that you are up to something good. I'm gonna believe that you are up to something good. When I can't understand the things that happen in my life, I'm gonna believe that you are up to something good.
Never fail or forsake you.
That is what you said. Through fire and water I will take you. That is what you said. So when you don't answer my prayer the way I think you should, I'm going to believe that you are up to something good. I'm gonna believe that you are up to something good. I'm gonna believe that you are up to something good. When I can't understand the things that happen in my life, I'm gonna believe that you are up to something good. Yo nunca te desampararé, ni te dejaré. Por el fuego yo te llevaré. Eso es lo que dices. Por eso cuando no contestas como yo quisiera, yo voy a creer que algo bueno vas a hacer. I'm gonna believe that you are up to something good. I'm gonna believe that you are up to something good. When I can't understand the things that happen in my life, I'm gonna believe that you are up to something good.
Amen. You know, this is a paraphrase of Romans 8:28. For we know that God causes all things to work together for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. And, you know, I have lived long enough to know that not everything that happens is good. Some things that happen are just plain rotten. But God is a redeemer, and he is able to take anything and make something good out of it. And that is why we can trust in him, why we need to put our faith in him. When something rotten happens, God, you're going to do something good for me because you said so. And let's proclaim that through this song today, amen? If you're going through the rotten thing and you can't imagine how he's going to make something good out of it. This is the time to proclaim your faith in Jesus, that he's good and he's up to something good for you personally. Amen. Amen. Let's just lift a hand as we sing this chorus one more time and make our faith known. I'm going to believe that you are up to something good. I'm going to believe that you are up to something good when I can't understand the things that happen in my life. I'm gonna believe that you are up to something good. Amen. Let's give the Lord a big praise offering this morning. JR, just stay right there and let's sing I See the Lord. We're going to do that with that track that's up there that's in Spanish. It's called Veo al Señor. It's number one. The CD, not the DVD. But before we roll that, I just want to tell you that so much has happened since I saw you last in between time. And one of the big things has been that in last September, my mother went to be with the Lord at 86, and it was just an amazing thing. Last year, she and one of her singer friends ministered in her Episcopal church down in North Carolina. My song, Father Lift Me Up. Early in the year, they did. My mother played fiddle, and this other lady sang. And people just responded so much and wrote her little notes about what my music meant in their lives. And my mother got this strong feeling we need to do a Honey Tree concert in the church. We used to do them all the time in her church, but it had been a while. So she worked and organized this concert. And it was not only a Honey Tree concert, but it was a reunion of my mother's fiddle band. My mother, her daughter, Kathy, my older sister, and Kathy's daughter, Hannah, three generations of fiddlers, they played. And then my family backed me up as a string quartet, my two sisters, my father, my mother, and played Honey Tree string arrangements behind Diamond in the Rough and several other songs. It was just incredible. That was August the 10th. And then within 6 weeks, she went to be with the Lord. So we all looked at that as if, God, you know, you knew your timing. You just knew we would need that. We would need that time with my mother, time when the family came together and was all, oh, my goodness. And then when she passed away, God arranged it so that my sisters and I could be with her. And we sang all the time as a family. We sang Girl Scout songs and we sang stuff, you know, so we just sang and sang for her for several days as she was getting closer and closer to heaven's door. And at one point she said, she said that about five times. And we were like, ice mom or what? You know, we were up there trying to figure out what, but she was looking kind of through the ceiling and suddenly she said, I see the Lord high and lifted up. Wow. You know, the Lord was just with her. He was so all over her home going. It was just absolutely wonderful. My mother was a very devoted Episcopalian since she was in college. And the prayer of the week of the Episcopal Church was, Lord, help us not to love earthly things, but to, as we are placed among things that are passing away, help us to hold fast to those things that will last forever through Jesus Christ our Lord. Isn't that amazing? I mean, the whole Episcopal calendar he arranged for my mother, praise God. So we just want to sing one of her favorite songs, which was I See the Lord, and ask you to sing along with us if you can start that track.
See you.
the Lord, high and lifted up, seated on the throne of my life.
Sing it with us.
I see the Lord, high and lifted up, seated on the throne of my life.
And he is holy.
He is holy. He is holy. Seated on
My mother prayed me into the kingdom. I was a high school kid. I was into drugs, going in the wrong direction. She had raised me as an Episcopalian, but I had not connected in a personal saving relationship with Christ through my church upbringing. It was a good church upbringing, but I just hadn't gotten saved. So I had this empty place in my heart, and I was trying to fill it with drugs and music and friends and all that stuff. And my mother was praying for me during those high school years. And God led me to the Jesus people. Those were the radical born-again hippies who told me that God sent Jesus to die for my sins, you know, in their bell-bottoms and their fringed leather jackets and their Fu Manchu mustaches and their long hair and everything, telling me Jesus died for my sins. Hallelujah. I could relate to the way they looked and the gleam in their eye that they had something I didn't have. And they said that Jesus wanted to come and live in my heart. And I knew I was empty on the inside. And so I received Christ as 17 and have been serving the Lord ever since then. You know, my mother and I, at first we had a bit of a difficulty connecting because she was very liturgical and I was less radical Pentecostal Jesus person now. But as we both grew and matured, we just came together in a beautiful relationship of faith and fellowship. And it was a great privilege through the years to see my mother grow in the Lord and to grow in the Lord myself and to communicate about that, you know. And at times God would speak to her or minister to her or give her a dream or something. And, you know, it was like, it was almost better if God spoke to her. I got more blessed about it than even if he did to me, because just something about that was so sweet. And so to watch how he took her home and blessed every step of the way that she went. Was incredible. It was the holiest experience I've ever had in my life. And my sisters and I all felt that we were so nourished by that, that we could trust the Lord when it was our turn to go, that he would be right there just like that. And, you know, oh, what a blessing. Hallelujah. It was awesome. Well, the thing we've been learning about in this past year or two is God's provision is linked up with his timing. You know, we have a need. We sometimes wish God would have already met it. You know, that we had the money in the bank, that we knew how it was going to work out. But I find that as we walk along the path in God's timing, he provides, not till he's good and ready. Have you ever noticed that he's stubborn? And not till he's good and ready does he provide. But he does, just right on time. And what we've been finding is that by the time God provides, then we know exactly what we're supposed to do with it. And it all works out. And so we've been learning to rest not only in God's provision, but in his timing of his provision, that he's going to be on time. He does his timing for a reason, and that we can rest in that. Amen. And so I just concur with that word JR said about that path that's laid out before you. And that as you walk along that path by faith, you don't know how you're going to do it all, but God's going to provide along the way in his timing as you need it. And in the way and the time that he provides, you will know what to do with what he provides. He guides us by his timing as well as by his provision. Amen? So we can trust in the Lord. And I just wanted to encourage you in that. Strengthen your cords and lengthen your stakes, it says in Isaiah 54. Don't be afraid. You will not be ashamed or humiliated. But your descendants will repopulate desolate cities. And you will spread abroad to the right and the left. And so you are in the center of God's will. By faith, you're going forward. Just like the spirit of Caleb that came upon him. Remember when the 12 spies went into the land? And only two of them came back with a good report. The rest were overwhelmed by the challenge and the enemies. I mean, you already know this, don't you? That just because God's given you this new place, that doesn't mean there isn't going to be a battle. There's going to be a battle. But we are able to go in and take the country because God said so. He said, you go and do it, and I will be with you. I'm going to make your enemies flee. I'm going to be the enemy to your enemies. I'm going to drive them out before you. But there's going to be a battle. And so when the 12 spies went in, 10 of them came back too overwhelmed by the fact of this battle. They saw the giants. They saw the land that was abundant. They had to have two guys carry one thing of grapes because they were so huge on a pole. But they said, we can't go. Oh, my gosh. The tragedy of that. They missed what God wanted to give them. The adventure and the blessing. God said, you're not going. Every one of you except Joshua and Caleb are going to die in the wilderness. But your children will go in, and Joshua and Caleb. Let's be Joshua and Caleb, amen? Let's just do that. I'm just encouraging you are. You're believing that God is going before you. God has given you this. And yes, there's going to be a battle, but he's with us. We're going to win. And that's what Caleb said. He said, yes, it's a beautiful land. We must go. We can go. We surely can take this land because God is there giving it to us. And if he said so, then he will do what he said. And so what Caleb had was confidence in God's character, that he was going to perform what he said. Yes, we can go without knowing exactly how we're going to do it. We can go with knowing that there's going to be a battle, But God will be with us, and he's going to give us the victory because he said so. And we trust in him and in what in his word. Amen? So I just want, yeah, let's clap our hands and thank the Lord. That's where we're at, too. We're moving into this new place. We don't know exactly how it's all going to work out. But we just believe that we're in a transition into a new phase of ministry. You know, in the last number of years, 20 years about, has it been that long? 91, almost 20 years now. The Lord has been refocusing our attention as a music ministry on missions. And he has been showing me that I can sing in Spanish and I can sing in the Urdu language of Pakistan. And now I'm learning Farsi. Tell me what country Farsi is from. Does anybody know? Anybody know what Farsi, where Farsi is spoken? It's something really in the news right now. Iran, there you go. That's where they speak Farsi. They call it Persian as well. I've learned to sing two songs in Farsi now. And God is opening up the door for me to minister to the underground church of Iran. It's so exciting. I have, oh my goodness. God is moving right in the middle of this land that's so negative in the news right now. Many, many Muslims are receiving Jesus Christ as their personal Savior by telling each other about it. And they worship in house churches. And there's thousands and thousands of them. And they're reading the New Testament, modern Farsi New Testament. Let's clap our hands and praise the Lord for that. And today we want to show you a DVD that is called The Man in White. This is what we're going to sing today is actually the Urdu, the Pakistani version. This song is, I'm going to sing it in English so you can understand what it is, but it is about someone who dreams of Jesus. And he appears as a man in white, and he does something wonderful for them. And then he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And this is a phenomenon that is happening in the Muslim world where Jesus is appearing to people in their dream. And then they become so excited because they've been touched by him. They want to know more. And when they hear the gospel, then they get saved. And so God allowed me to make a song about it. And this one that you're going to see was all recorded in Urdu. So it is now being played in Pakistan, and it is being played in the Middle East where the Pakistanis go to work, like in Dubai and different places. And now we're working on the Farsi version of this. So let's play this so you can see some of the things we're up to in the world of missions and music. We should be hearing. I dreamed of a man in white. He touched me and took away all my fear and pain. I do not know his name, but I'm looking. He won.
till you know him. I am looking for him. Have you seen him? Do you know him? I am
this in Urdu for Pakistan. Now it's in Farsi, and my long-term goal is to do it in Arabic as well, so you can keep on praying for us. We're going to wrap up now because it's time to go. It's Sunshine Sunday, but I want to give you one more verse that I believe relates not only to me and JR, but to where you're at right now. A long time ago, the Lord gave me, prepare your outside work and make it ready for yourself in the field. Afterwards, then, build your house. You know, we need to busy ourselves and be obedient in God's, in spreading the gospel. That's what we're supposed to do. The field is the world of people who need to know Jesus. Amen. And you have made yourselves a tool as a church. You're an active, outreaching church, and you've prepared yourself. You've worked hard. You've invested in being a church that wins souls. And now God is saying, build your house. So a house building time has come, which means, which implies that you've already prepared your work outside and you've made it ready for yourself in the field. Otherwise, house building time wouldn't have come. Amen? So you're ready. You've prepared. Your work is ready. Now he says, now build your house. Now, if all of this that you've done up to this point has been preparation and making it ready, and now you're building your house, what is going to happen when you get there and it's functioning and it's in order? Because what you have done up to this point is preparation for the harvest that is coming. Amen? So hang in there. Enjoy your house building time. Look forward with faith to the harvest that's coming all around that new move. Amen? Let's clap our hands and thank the Lord this morning.
Well, I trust you were as blessed as I was. Amen. Give him a hand again. Maybe if I could get the two Jacks, the good Jack and the good Jack, to take an offering. We're going to take an offering this morning. That's a men's camp out. Good Jack, bad Jack joke, but never mind. Had to be there. But anyway, the courtesy of John Clark. But at any rate, we're going to take an offering for JR and Nancy for the ministry. You can see the work they're doing. Beyond just being in the States, is traveling. It takes a lot of finances to do that. And they're the faith ministry. They do the ministry of what they raise. So next week, Nancy and William go to Honduras and Nicaragua, you know, and their sons. I mean, what a great time. So just, you know, dig deep in your hearts and give into that ministry, and whatever you give, we'll give all to them, and I'll be at you a little bit. So Chris, there's an envelope for ours there. So worship team. Same time, we'll be doing well, but let's stand up and worship God. So glad that we serve a holy God, true and righteous and pure and majestic God. We're grateful for that, Lord. We continue to bow our hearts and our lives before you, that you would, in fact, be seated on the throne of our lives. We give you the praise for this day. We give you the honor. We thank you for the week that is before us, that what we do will bring you glory in all that we set our hand to. Father, as your people go, may your angels encamp about them and protect them and keep them in all they do. May your provision be in their households. May the Holy Spirit be strong in their lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, thank you again for today. I think Richard and Nancy have a table back in the back for the book and some CDs. And also, as you leave, be blessed. I'm sure Richard and Nancy would be glad to pray with you. If you need prayer or you want to come forward, please feel free to do that. Have a blessed week.